So last night, my daughter Grace and I attended the local community Valentine's dance together. As you can see, the theme was boots and bling. I had to lean on Grace for that because I have no boots and no bling to offer, but I did my best to. And I also didn't know too much besides Taylor Swift and maybe the first few moves of the Apple song from Charlie XCX, but I had to do my best on that too. What I've learned is that when you are dancing with an eight-year-old kid, if you don't know the next step, just twirl and dip, and you're covered always. You'll never go wrong. If only it were that easy in life to know what to do and how to take the next step, right? Especially in this world right now, and as we step out into the world, and it may not be a song that we really want to dance along to, right? But we do our best, and we seek to take the next step. There's always been challenge and uncertainty in our world, but right now seems especially so. And you don't need me to tell you that. You also don't need me to remind you that many in our community right now feel afraid and feel threatened. We hosted a Know Your Rights event at a partner apartment building in town, and so many people came out to that that for the first time ever, we ran out of food, and which is an amazing thing, but it also moves my heart because it means that our immigrant neighbors fear for their and their children's future here, no matter their status. And our LGBTQ plus family, especially our transgender youth and their parents, face new challenges to their dignity and to their care. And those who've been working for inclusion and diversity in our world find themselves in the vulnerable spotlight. And many of us are asking, so what do we do now? How do we move forward? What is the next right step? If only twirling and dipping worked. We face this uncertainty together. I say that clearly. As one community bound up together by love. Some in our community may feel this more acutely, but we are all affected. And we are all called to respond. Today, every one of us faces choices about how we'll show up for each other, how we will care for those in our relation, how we will live out our values and protect the vulnerable, how we will follow the way of love. And so we ask all of us, what is the next right thing? And we may not know exactly what to do, but I think we know which direction love is pointing. And so our call to take the next step is simply to take the next step in love's direction. We know the direction that love points us. Here's what our scripture, both testaments of our scripture, make clear to us. We are to love our neighbor. And especially as Leviticus 19, 33 and 34 says, when an immigrant resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the immigrant. The immigrant who resides with you shall be to you as the native born among you. You shall love the immigrant as yourself, for you were immigrants in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Jesus himself references this and says that the greatest commandments are to love God and to love our neighbor as ourself. And so in this moment, some of us may feel that very acutely. But if we all truly love our immigrant neighbor as ourselves, we all feel this. We're all affected. And so let me say this also clearly, that there is no proclamation or order that will ever change the fact that every single one of our trans siblings are created in the image of God, fearfully, wonderfully made, and of sacred worth. Genesis 1:27 says clearly, all humanity is created in the image of God. And so what is that image like? Well, look around you. Don't make eye contact, that's kind of weird, but just kind of look around. Look into your community. Look around you at the world. All humanity is created in the image of God, you included. and also created in the image of God beyond the community is what we see reflected in God. And listen to this in Deuteronomy 4:15. This is what God says about who God is. It says, since you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the fire, that's the Sinai experience, take care and watch yourself closely so that you don't act corruptly by making an idol for yourself in the form of any figure, in the likeness of male or female. This is saying the image of God cannot be contained in the likeness of male or female. The image of God is infinite, and it fulfills and it transcends gender, and our trans siblings teach us that by courageously being exactly who they were created to be and reminding us of the infinite image of God. And just to make it clear for us, in Acts 8, the very first person baptized by the early church was an African non-binary eunuch. Just to say the image of God includes us all. And so if anyone tries to say that something else is the only and the one biblical perspective on things, just know that they're mistaken. Trans people, LGBTQ people, our immigrant neighbor, and our immigrant selves here in this community are beloved and beautiful children of God. The Bible tells me so. Friends, these are things we need to remember and that we need to keep before us as we ask what we do next, as we seek to take the right step forward toward love. There's other things we need to remember as well. Let me say clearly also that the image of God is diverse and beautiful and created with sacred worth in all of our sacred and wonderful maybes of who we are and who we are becoming. So the body of Christ is diverse by design. Romans 12:4-5 says this, just as each one of us has one body with many diverse members, many different diverse parts in ourselves, and not all members have the same function, so in Christ we who are many are one body, and each member belongs to one another. E pluribus unum, you may have heard said before, out of many, one, and we each belong to each other. Diversity is the way that we, our community, our world is divinely designed with diversity and diversity that belongs to each other, like a million interwoven fibers of this inextricable garment of mutuality. We are stronger together. The body of Christ, the image of God, is diverse and it is equitable and it's inclusive. And pursuing that is a sacred calling. I want to share with you from an essay that friend Dr. Naomi Ruth wrote yesterday that she posted along with this beautiful, challenging phrase from Jameson Shepherd. You can't take DEI out of the imago Dei, he wrote. And so this is what she wrote. And some of us may be still kind of sitting with that, and that's okay. Naomi is talking about something deeper than HR and job postings, although that is important there as well. She's talking about something deeper than that. And so listen with me. This is multiple slides that we're going to read together, but I want to listen, and I want us all to listen closely to her words. This is what she says in funny format. You're going to have to listen to me because the slide came out funny there. So listen to this. The concept of the imago Dei, the image of God, the belief that all humans are made in the image of God, provides deep theological grounding for diversity and equity and inclusion. If every person reflects God's image, then every individual has inherent dignity, worth, and value. This understanding naturally calls for justice, respect, and inclusion in all aspects of society. And she continues, human diversity is not incidental, but intentional. The richness of different cultures, and perspectives, and identities mirrors the multifaceted nature of God's creation. recognizing Imago Dei means embracing diversity as a reflection of divine beauty rather than something to be erased or diminished. Equity, she says, flows from this recognition. If every person carries the divine image, then systems and structures must ensure that all people are treated justly and given what they need to thrive. Imago Dei challenges discrimination, oppression, and inequality, compelling us to uplift the marginalized and create spaces where all can flourish. And finally, inclusion follows naturally. Exclusion, dehumanization, and injustice contradict the very essence of Imago Dei. To honor God's image in others means creating communities where every person is seen, valued, and fully included. This is not just an ethical or a social imperative. It is a sacred one, she says. At its core, Imago Dei doesn't just support diversity and equity and inclusion. It calls us to it. It calls us to honor and recognize and advocate for the dignity of every human being. It's the sacred work that creates the body of Christ and the beloved community. And it is the hope of all creation. As I read a few weeks ago, there's this vision of hope in Revelation that describes like heaven, the end of the story, like this in Revelation 7:9. It says, I looked and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, all tribes, people, and languages standing before the throne saying, salvation belongs to our God. Diversity and equity and inclusion is what salvation looks like. And if you care about this work, if you love your neighbor and the diverse humanity created in the image of God, even amidst uncertainty, know this, the future is certain, and it is diverse, and it is equal, and it is inclusive, because God's love wins. And so, in this great middle school dance that is life, what is the next step in our move? What's the next step for us to take? Well, it is, among many things, simply doing the next right thing in love. And over these past weeks, I've been so impacted and inspired by this church community as it has faced challenges and uncertainty and simply sought to do the next right thing, the thing that is before us in love, putting one foot in front of the other, and trusting in faith that when we do that, when we join in that work of love, that God's love wins. So on Saturday, our leadership board, this next Saturday, will begin cultural competency training for our leaders and staff here at this church so that this body of Christ can better embody the good news of God's diverse and equal and inclusive love for all. That's a next step that we can take in love. And Thursday night, a group from Arapaho joined with 38 faith communities in our vicinity and with the Dallas Chief of Police at the Golden Gate Missionary Baptist Church, pledging as Dallas area interfaith churches to protect and support our immigrant neighbors. That is a step that we can take in love. Today, our greeters and our safe team met to talk through a plan to keep our sacred space free from immigration enforcement. That is a step that we can take together. I already mentioned the Know Your Rights event Thursday night with our partners in Immigration Legal Services at Justice for Our Neighbors. And I mentioned that there were so many folks there that we ran out of food, right? But as I was walking out, walking in was third grader Vivian Gibson with Girl Scout cookies. That is a step that we can take in love. And for our LGBTQ and trans siblings, as Arapaho, we will continue to stand up for and support and provide care for people of all orientations and gender expressions. We will call each other by our sacred names and pronouns and proclaim the sacred worth of all people. We're gathering resources and direct action networks that we can support, and folks from this church are doing whatever they can, including, guess what, donating to Synergy Wesley Campus Ministry boxes of Girl Scout cookies. To say in whatever way we can to our students, we see you, we are here for you, we love you, and we want, and so if you want to say that to someone, Girl Scout cookies are a great way to do that. Our love is deep and our mints are thin. That can be a slogan for us. I'm inspired by you. I'm impacted by you. I'm moved by you because this church keeps doing whatever it can. And that's exactly what we should do, to simply do the next right thing in love. That wisdom, do the next right thing in love, comes from many places. Anne Lamott, Mother Teresa. Of course, if you're a parent, you know that it comes from Elsa and Anna in Frozen 2 as well. So it's a good life lesson. You know, they have good life lessons. Let it go. Do the next right thing. Build a snowman when you can. It's good words to live by there. They've got some good advice. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King himself said this: faith is taking the next step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Right? And I love that it's connected with faith, because that is what we learn when we take life one step at a time. That's all we can do. We can plan and we can prepare, but we can't jump to the end of the plan. We can put one foot in front of the other, one breakfast at a time, one phone call or email at a time, one next right thing at a time, one box of Girl Scout cookies at a time, apparently, as well. When we learn and we live from that, we begin to live with a tenacious faith and tenacious hope in the God who is at work around us and in us and through us and before us and with us, who takes our small steps in love and connects them to the work of the great love in our world in ways that we cannot imagine. But we know that salvation is our God's, and love wins. So there's this passage in the book of Micah that you've heard us reference a little bit today. You might hear it from time to time around here. It's a powerful verse about justice and kindness and humility. But that verse begins not with power, but in the midst of uncertainty. The people are asking, what do we do? Where should we go? How do we be? What is our next step? Uncertainty was all around them, and they did not know what to do. And the character and the wisdom of God just cut through all the commotion and gave the clearest picture of God's will for our life together. What do we do? And the heart of God responds, God has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Act justly, love kindness, and walk humbly. That is the work, and it has always been the work, and that is what love calls us to right now. We don't know what tomorrow holds, what new challenges may come, but we know what will be required when we get there. The same thing that was required today and yesterday and all of the tomorrows before us: to act justly, to treat others kindly, and to walk humbly. So when we face a fork in the road, seeking to do the next right thing, ask, what is the just thing to do? What is the kind thing to do? What is the humble thing to do? And then do the next right thing in love, knowing in faith that you are empowered and supported and upheld by the God of justice, by the God who is kind, by the God who is humble, and the God who is love. These things and these days can seem hard in many ways. But when we walk in steps of love, the greatest force in the universe walks with us. That arc-bending, world-transforming, all things new-making love of God is with us as we go. And in that love is exactly where we need to be. This season is our part in love's work. And so we'll do it. We'll do justice. We'll love kindness. And we will walk humble and proud. And we will walk in love because love does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Love wins. And God's love embraces everything. And so any next step that we take in love leads us right where we need to be. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. And in love, care for each other today and work for a more just tomorrow. And together, friends, we will build a diverse, inclusive community of love for the transformation of the world, one step at a time. That is the work, and that has always been the work. The work that God calls us to, the work that God is with us in, the work that God is. May we be it, may we see it, and may it be so. Amen.